Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio. This is ESPN 1000.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Oh, it is a picture-perfect Chicago summer day. I mean, this is what we dream about in January, February, March, April, even into May.
None of that excessive heat that you like so much.
I do like heat, but I mean, who doesn't love a day like today? Today's just perfect.
Yes, yes.
You no step humidity, outside, nice breeze,
yes.
Yesterday, with the wind blowing even, it felt like one of those evenings where when you're on vacation and there is an ocean and you feel the ocean breeze, it was so like perfect yesterday. Like if you closed your eyes, you felt like you were sort of sitting on a beach.
In San Diego.
Yeah.
San Diego-esque.
San Diego is a great town too.
Well, the weather is always 72 and with that perfect breeze.
But it's have you been there?
Oh,
I haven't been
lots.
There in years.
Yes.
When they built the ballpark,
Petco, and yeah.
that whole district down
yes.
there. Mazur was, I went to visit Mazur when he was there.
Yeah, running the streets.
Yeah. He was the voice of the Padres. I went to go visit him once, and I've been down there for Bears games. It's just a great town because it's Southern California, but it's not stuffy like LA, and you can walk the entire town, unlike LA.
Traffic's not unbearable. It's not great, but it's not unbearable.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk some baseball. I'm going back and forth with the guys on Twitch. I am coming around to love it and not like rage against it anymore. Love when people think when I'm watching the Sox and I'm observing and giving, just like any sportscaster would do, who's not like how many talk show hosts in this town or other towns have you heard break down teams that they don't root for? Like a lot of them. I mean, you didn't like. I just laugh when people think my criticism is coming because I'm a Cubs fan. Like, no one rips the Cubs ass as much as me when they're bad. Like,
yeah,
they're not even worth talking about right now. They're so bad. That's the worst thing in the world. Like, when they're bad in 04, if you would have listened to me and Carmen, I was ripping them every chance. I boycotted the Cubs in 06. It was the dysfunctional franchise. I, when they underachieve, when they go 3-and-out in the postseason in 07 and 08, and then these people now think Sylvie's actually getting ripping the Sox because Tony La Russa beat the Cubs so badly when he was the Cardinals manager.
If anything, I think you're a little more open-minded. Like, Carmen and I are losing our minds on a day-to-day basis, it feels like, right? Whereas I feel like you're a little bit more, you give a little bit more rope than Sox fans would,
right?
Because you're not as invested in them winning.
Down on your bets.
I'm still rooting for my bets, and you know what? I'm not writing it off yet. I'm $125 in on the White Sox to win the division, and
now you could probably get some good odds now.
I think they're
jump in
175. I want to say
that's still not good enough, though.
Well, look,
when you're five back,
here's the
four
only
and a half.
There's nothing they're doing that you look at them now and that where you would say, yes, that's a team that looks like they could win the division. But as badly as they've played to the Orioles and in this stretch where they just, every time you think they're back, they show you they're not back. And every time you think they're dead, they show you, oh, maybe here's a little life. They're still within striking distance. The Twins and the Guardians aren't going anywhere.
You're right. We'll keep clinging to that.
So let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who joins us. Waddle's on vacation. Jesse will be in, too, in the studio tomorrow through Friday with Yerk. What's going on, Jess?
Yeah, I've been listening, Sylvie. Good afternoon. Good stuff about the Sox. I mean, I agree with some of the things you're saying, but I disagree with some of the pointed criticism towards Tony and sort of focusing on him. So where do you want to start with this team?
All right, well, look, if you're asking me on a scale of who's to blame for the White Sox underachievement, where is Tony? Tony is like in the list, but he's not. I'm not going to say top of the list, but he's just doesn't make them better. He's not a good manager. That's all I'm saying right now. And the point about firing him, I'm not saying you should be fired. I'm telling you he's the guy who's not going to be fired because the owner is not going to pull the plug on this.
Yeah, I agree with the first part of what you said. I don't think he's certainly making them better in any capacity. I don't know if he's the big negative that most people believe, that maybe you even believe. I think when you break down in-game stuff, you could do that with 30 teams, 30 fan bases, even the good teams. I mean, Joe Maddon won a World Series, and he basically got ran out of town, right? Every manager gets second-guessed for in-game stuff. But as I mentioned with Hood this morning, is it Tony's fault? They're 28th in OPS versus right-handed pitching, that they have 11 homers from lefties. Schwarber has 20 on his own, that they're 18th in starters ERA, that they're at the bottom of the league in most defensive categories, defensive efficiency, 28th. Now, look, it might be Tony's fault, but it's not little in-game stuff. That would be culture stuff. The vibe that he's created, the environment. If you want to question that, I'll be on board with that more so than in-game stuff. And but you're right. I'm glad you didn't put Tony at the top of the list, because to me, complaining about Tony or putting him at the top of the list is like complaining about your kicker when you don't have a quarterback.
I wouldn't go that far, though.
Yes, it's important to have a good kicker, but not anywhere near as important to have a good quarterback. And in this case, the quarterback is basically the White Sox roster, which I think is flawed. You tell me those categories they gave you, 18th in starters ERA, 28th. Luis Robert, this great talent, he's got an OPS under 800. He's hitting 294. Okay, that's fine. He's got 8 walks and 7 home runs. Now, again, if Tony's not creating the right culture, and that's why some guys aren't succeeding, that's one thing. But it's not Tony's fault they're getting injured. It's not Tony's fault that they're 18th in starters ERA, when on paper that's a good starting staff. So I'd say that you're right. Tony's not a positive, but I don't think he's the big negative that everyone in the world makes him out to be.
Well, look, I gave the fans two tangible things from Saturday. How could Lance Lynn, on a team that's as fragile as can be, when Lance Lynn is up there on age in his third start coming off of surgery, when you need Lance Lynn to be good at the end of the year, why is he allowed to throw 110 pitches? Why are you bringing in Ruiz in a two-run inning when the game is still there for the win, and you're not going with your high leverage relievers? Why are you continuing to play players who haven't done well this year and not gone to the rookie Sosa? You know what I'm saying? Like, there are several things from this weekend and throughout the year where you just say, why is he doing that?
You can do that with every manager.
So why is Tony off the hook?
Well, he's not. You're right. That's what I'm saying. He's not really. He's definitely not a positive. I don't know that he's any more of a negative than anyone else. I'm giving him a little bit benefit of the doubt.
Yes,
but
are.
I'll push back on your two things. First of all, there are many managers that don't pitch their high leverage guys in a deficit 3-1 because of exactly what Jeff Miller said. You pitch him down 3-1, you still lose. Now you don't have him available the next day when you're in a winning situation. And without Liam Hendricks, and the fact that, again, this is Rick Hahn investing in Joe Kelly, this is Rick Hahn investing in Kendall Graveman, but more so this is a criticism about investing in Joe Kelly, who started the season with a nerve problem, who they knew couldn't go back-to-back. So why are you doing that? Why are you hamstringing your manager with a guy that can't do that? Kendall Graveman hasn't done much back-to-back, so you're saving them for leading. So many managers would do the same thing, and many would probably lean on Lance Lynn, who has a rubber-type arm, to get out of it. But look, I'm not saying he's right or you're wrong. Those are just in-game things that happen every day. It's more about the big picture stuff that isn't happening with the White Sox. Is that on Tony, or is that on Rick and the people that he's invested in and employed?
Rick did not do enough this offseason, whether that's a Rick Hahn issue or that's a Jerry Reinsdorf issue. It's a story that needs to be written, Jesse, so I'll challenge you to write it. I mean, that's what I'd like to know, too. Like, I thought they half-assed it into the season when they had some areas they could have gotten better, and they chose not to.
I don't think there's any doubt, and it is something I'll probably write if they continue to underachieve. I don't think there's any doubt that Jerry's not going to go all in terms of payroll when the revenues of that team, based on attendance and such, aren't as great as other teams. I think that's as simple as it gets. They don't bring in as much money because they don't sell 35,000 a game, and bring in 35,000 a game. And so they're not going to spend what they don't have. I'm using quotation marks because I think we all agree every team has more money than they actually spend. But that's it. They're not going to be top two or three in payroll because they don't bring in the revenues like some of the top earning clubs do. I think it's as simple as that.
Jesse Rogers joining us. He's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. All right, what's the big thing then to watch for here with this Anaheim series? Because I think these are two teams that are sort of similar that have driven a lot of their fan bases nuts.
Yeah, and it goes back to that managerial question. They changed managers in Anaheim. It didn't work out. Changed it in Philly. It did work out. You look at the Braves came back from the dead, a hangover season. They've turned it on. Who else has done that? There's at least one other team that's kind of turned their season around. So the point is, you don't know. You can change managers and it doesn't happen. You can change managers and it does. Going out west is never easy. It's just weird. Sometimes weird things happen. Sometimes in your favor, a lot of times not. They go to San Francisco after this. Look, a week ago today or a week ago, a Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, I was on board with this Whites. I was starting to buy into their offense is starting to turn it around. And then everything changed again with Baltimore. And it continues to do that, as you mentioned before I came on, one step forward, one step back. I don't see why they're set to go on a run out west. That rarely happens, the start of some run, right? So, they could win this series against the Angels and then lose against the Giants or vice versa. It's what you said. There's nothing that tells you some big run is coming. And every time there's even just a little bit of hope, they shut the door on it. And I thought last week there was a little bit of hope, and it changed against a Baltimore Orioles team that came in ranked like 26th in ERA among their starters, and the Sox did nothing on offense against them. So I can't tell you what's going to happen this week, but I just don't think they're going to go on a run, because I've said I don't think they're going to win the division. I'm going against most of the guys on air in our station. I think I've seen enough. Forget the Braves. Forget these other teams. The deficiencies are too large in these areas that are mentioned to overcome. The one area I think they can get better on is on the mound, starting games, starters. Let's see what Giolito does tonight. I have not lost faith in Giolito, but they're 18th in starters ERA. That's got to go up. I mean, in terms of, you know, the ranking, the ERA's got to go down. They're ranking up to have a chance here, and I think it will. But let's see. Giolito would be a great start tonight.
Yeah, and it's funny because Kopech's been pretty good. I know it wasn't great in his last outing in Cease. Again yesterday, Jesse, his strikeout totals are just crazy. And now the production coming back, he continues to look strong and everything the White Sox have ever envisioned in him.
He looks like a guy that, one, is going to flirt with a no-hitter someday soon, and maybe, two, flirt with some sort of crazy 18 or 19 strikeout game, right? It just seems like he has that in him. Yesterday was even better than 5 days ago when he struck out 11 Blue Jays, because it was all slider that day. Yesterday he had this fastball.
100.
He had a curveball. He had the slider as his bread and butter, obviously. Yesterday was probably the best that I've seen him if you take the complete package. Granted, it is Baltimore, but still, Baltimore just beating them three in a row. So I thought, yeah, he is really coming into his own. And think about just, if you have a bad defense, how much you reduce that margin for error, no pun intended, when you strike out 10, 11, 12, 13 guys every time out. And that's why he can be successful on a team that doesn't have much defense and is very shaky on offense.
Yeah. There's a guy on the north side, by the way, who would fit, I think, the White Sox very well. But I don't know if the Sox would be interested in it, because they may feel like they got burnt last year, or at least it didn't work out well. But why not bring Roberts back?
David Robertson?
Yeah, Robertson,
yeah,
I mean.
Robertson,
yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's not a bad thought. As a setup man, look, last year was a little different. You had this Hall of Fame closer moving into a new role. It's, you know, David Robertson, I think he's happy to be in the big leagues. Granted, he's doing well. I think it's a little bit different psychologically if you brought him back as a setup man. I don't know that they would do that. I don't think I'm not sure they would do a second turn with him. But yes, look, Ian Happ would fit on the south side. I thought maybe you were going to mention him. Any sort of left-handed slug that you can get, I think, would fit on the south side. But they certainly need some reinforcements in the bullpen. You question marks with Liam Hendricks and question marks with Joe Kelly, you know, to be honest. So you need some veteran help down there. You can't be all Matt Foster and the young guys helping out. And we don't know what Hendricks is going to look like, and we don't know when Joe Kelly is going to be at full strength to go back-to-back or go two innings. So, yes, I think they're going to absolutely fortify on the mound. I'm not sure about Robertson, but there'll be somebody like that.
Anything else on the Sox that you want to get after before I ask you a question or two on the Cubs?
No, let's go Cubs, because Jed Hoyer did a whole hour on Marquee today that we could dissect.
I'm sure there was a lot of news out of that.
Well, not so much. He's doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing that. Yeah, he's doing. It's weird to do this sort of in season, not the radio shows. You know, that was one thing. But to go on Marquee middle of a Monday afternoon, and remember, I told you about 10 days ago, he came down and on his own spoke to reporters, including myself in the dugout. Like, usually we have to ask for him and stuff. I don't know if he was told by his bosses, you need to go go for some accountability with this team, or he's doing it on his own. I'll give him credit for doing it, but he doesn't have many answers. And this is what I've concluded, if you want to just move over to the Cubs. You know, you've asked me many times, what is the plan? What is the plan? And I've kind of intimated what I think it is, but this is really it. It's letting these young players mature. There's no other avenue. It's letting the Pete Crow Armstrongs and the Brennan Davises make it to the majors or make it close and then obviously trade them. There's no other way to do this. You can't buy a championship. We know that if they had signed Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant and they were performing this way, most of them, we'd be complaining about it. Why'd you spend that money? There's really no way of doing this except through the draft, or in this case, also through other teams' drafts because of the trades they made last year, right? We always say you win by drafting well, developing well. That's the only way to do this. And that's why I think he's spinning as much as he can to buy the organization some time as these guys mature through the system. I'm not sure there's any other answer.
Well, what I think is odd is it seems like there's been this, whether it's been publicly or through back channels, the Cubs ownership wants to make it known that Jed hasn't spent all of his budget. Sort of like to put it out there, hey, you want to get on us? Jed's got more money. He's choosing not to use it. Do you believe that that's a thing?
I believe that it's true that he did have some more money to spend. I don't know if they're back channeling it or not, but I do believe it's a thing. I'm one, and now Jed and Crane are on the record saying the money will be there when it's needed. I told you that I do believe that. I do believe that. It was there once. I think in your heart you believe it too, Sylvie. I don't think they're going to have some contending team, and they're not going to sign the next John Lester. They're not going to sign the next Jason Hayward, who's actually good. Right. I just think they'll do that. I do. I don't think you're going to own the team and not try to win when you have that chance. But the bottom line is, Jed said it today on Marquee again, between the contracts being up of those guys that moved on and the fact, and he admitted it, that they did not draft well after Bryan and Schwarber is the reason they're in the position they're in, and they have to do this all again. Now, when he says it's not going to be the same rebuild, what he means by that is they don't have to build up a new spring training site. They don't have to build up their infrastructure. That's what he means, their infrastructure.
Right.
They still have to build up and develop the talent the same way they did before.
Right.
So he can get away with saying it's not the same as before because the infrastructure, so to speak, is in place. But the talent is the same. It's very young and needs to be developed. And that's why that I think is the plan. I don't think there's any other plan except if you wanted to try to buy a championship. But you know Ricketts isn't going to do that, and it's not the way to win long term.
Two things on that. First of all, why I'm not buying in like I did the first time was Theo's not leading this rebuild. I don't know if Jed can do it. And I don't believe the same motivation is behind Tom as it is now. I thought he was more motivated to get all that stuff done, to win that first World Series. And now he's got the World Series. He's got his money makers. I don't know if it is motivating for him to win. And I'd like to hear from him. Second of all, too, Jesse, is like the debate about is the money there when I forgot how you phrased it, and their phrasing.
When they're ready to win.
The money will be there when it's time. The question isn't about that, but when is it time? Like next year, is it time when Trey Turner's a free agent? Is it time to go after Xander Bogaerts? They're really good young players who are going to be available. And if the Cubs are going to continue to go after Schwindels and Wisdoms and VRs and players like that, then the fan base is eventually going to turn away and say, this is unwatchable and you don't get my money and you don't get my time.
Yeah, and I agree with how long it might take. That with the ticket prices that they are and buying Marquee and everything, I agree with you. That's a problem. But I'm not sure, as Jed Hoyer, how he fast-tracks this thing other than trying to buy a championship with Tom's money. And we know, again, that's not how you do long-term success. You're right. That's the doubt that all of us would have. He's not as motivated to spend because they've already won a World Series, and now he's done all these other things. They're already complete, right? So is the same motivation there? And it may or may not be. I don't know. The beauty is we're going to find out. We're going to find out. Now, you mentioned, are they just going to keep on bringing, you know, just signing these Wade Miley? But they did sign Seiya Suzuki.
Right.
So was that just a
– No, that was a good move. More of that, please. More, please.
Right. And I think this is where Jed is either going to be really good or really criticized for, and that's just being very nimble and the ability to do what he wants when he wants it. He likes Suzuki, so he grabbed him. Maybe he doesn't love Carlos Correa. Maybe he didn't want to go to the max for him. Maybe he does like Trey Turner. You know, you have to project guys years into the contract. And so we might think Carlos Correa was great, but I don't know. Maybe Jed doesn't. Maybe they don't project him to age that well. He did have a back injury. I think that was probably the case with a couple of the Cubs that moved on. They didn't want to spend max money on guys that weren't going to give them max production as they enter their, you know, early to mid-30s there. So that's the things we don't know, what their scouts and what they think about some of these players. The fact is they did spend something on, say, a Suzuki. So, yes, I do think Jed will jump at the right guy at the right time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being foolish. I don't think Jed's in this to cash a paycheck. I think he wants to win. But the only way he knows how to do it is to build it from the ground up. He's done it before. I don't know how else he can do it other than buying a right fielder, buying a center fielder, buying a short. And we know that's not the right
way. I know Jed's motivated. I'm not questioning Jed's motivation. I'm questioning his skill set. You know what I mean? He's been the sous chef. I don't know if he can cook the meal like the main chef. We don't know that. And that's fact. I think Jed's a nice dude. It's really cool. But he's not as good as Theo. Theo's not here anymore.
Look, Jed has said this a million times. It comes down to making one good decision after another. In my mind, that's one good scouting decision after another. Right? Isaac Paredes, did you see this guy? He's the player of the week. He was on the Cubs. They traded him in 2017 for Justin Wilson. They unloaded all their prospects, right? Eloy, Gleyber Torres, Isaac Paredes. I mean, now Jed's got to make these right decisions again to bring in the right guys and develop him and then flip them. I mean, you're
but
right.
But they didn't want to trade for Verlander. They gave him up, but they don't want to trade for Verlander.
Right, and that was on Theo as much as anybody.
Yeah, of course. Theo made a lot of mistakes, but I do know that Theo is good from building something from the ground up, at least. It's the sustaining part that Theo's always had problems with, whether it was Carl Crawford or Hayward in this case, and trying to buy solutions out of his mistakes. So
yeah, and then with the Cubs, eventually he wasn't allowed to buy the solutions. Right,
right. Right. They're like, no more. The money's dry. Yeah. So yeah,
that's it.
Good stuff, Jesse. Anything else you need to pass along?
No, that's it. I'll see you tomorrow in studio.
Okay, sounds good. There's
okay,
Jesse
care.
Again, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. Sully, as good as his article was in the Tribune, and I wanted to read you a quote later in the show because he did use my pet peeve, and I'm mad at him for something. I don't know. We could start Waddle's World with that, but Meller's here. So is Tyler. Waddle is out. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. And it is still Waddle's World. I'm just living in it, along with Tyler Aki. I'm Jeff Meller. We're sitting in with Sylvie today. And Sylvie, Paul Sullivan tickled your fancy over the weekend.
He didn't tickle anything, no.
Well, how would you describe it then? What did Paul Sullivan say?
Okay. Look, Sully's
much
great.
Worse than having your fancy tickled.
I've known Sully for a long time, and he's always been very, very good to me. He's always very plugged in. The thing I love about Sully is Sully's never worried to chap either sides of town's ass, whether it's Rickon or Jed Hoyer, whatever. Like, he'll go after them. Here's what I don't like. You know, you both know, I think. Tyler, I don't know you so much. He was writing about the Cubs spending and about how focus now is on trading again and about Crane and some of the comments he's had about the money being there. And Sully wrote, Cubs fans have no one to blame but themselves for this mess. Excuse me? It's my fault?
Yeah. You would have acquired a couple of starting pitchers.
Well, why? Huh? How is this any Cubs fan? Because we love a baseball team and we want to get out of the damn house after 2 years of being locked up in a pandemic, and we are here for 8 months of crap weather, and we want to go to the ballpark a couple times a year. So it's my fault because I bought a ticket. Now, I haven't been this year. Now, and I think...
So maybe you're not to blame, Sylvie.
But I don't believe that it should be up to... I do agree that there's a way that fans can let management know. But I also don't believe you should blame people who still want to go take their families or who enjoy watching baseball for whatever reason. Chicago, bad weather 8 months out of the year. You want to get to the ballpark. You want to you want to enjoy things that maybe you took for granted in the past year. You've been like, I was conditioned to only seeing bad baseball when I was growing up. I grew up in the 70s, and I didn't know the Cubs were allowed to win until 1984.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 71. I always just thought it was a thing that the Cubs would suck.
Okay, exactly. And, I mean, conversely, look at it. What happens if you don't show up? You go to the other side of town, and you hear about how they don't want to they don't want to be in the top three in payrolls because the fans don't support them enough.
You're damned if you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why I think it's dumb, and I think Sully should know better, that to blame a Cubs fan for going to a game because they're seventh in attendance during the rebuild, that shouldn't make it okay to field a crap product in a, as a big market team.
And I think what you were just talking about with Jesse right there is a fair question. Like who's responsible for what, quote, when it's time to win? Guess that, what?
That's the subjective
You
part.
Are the ones who are in charge of the purse strings. If you're Jed Hoyer, you're the one who is controlling where that money is being spent and on whom it's being spent on. So guess what? If you don't have a competitive team because you're, quote, you did a poor job years prior when you were trying to win baseball games, I don't think fans should be forced to just accept an awful product in hopes that 4 years from now, you'll bear fruit from
this
barren time.
Plus, think of some of the baseball teams that don't bring in good attendance, right? Like the Rays, they don't do great with attendance. Oakland doesn't do great with attendance. Yeah,
they're going to be Vegas, so.
But you've seen them go out and still compete despite the fact that there's not fans in the stands this entire time. So how can you go out and blame the fans for any of this?
I hate that. Yep. It's a cop-out. It's like, it's our fault. That's like, oh, you got into an accident, but it was the other person's fault. On the, what were you doing driving today? What are you talking? I'm an innocent bystander. I want to go to the ballpark and root for the Cubs or to take my family and drink some beer or do whatever. Sully's blaming me now? It's our fault? That's BS.
Be better as an organization. I'm both sides of town. That'd be good. All right, let's start with some of the top sports stories here, Sylvie. How about this? The Avalanche won the Stanley Cup last night, defeating the back-to-back champs Lightning and securing their first Stanley Cup title since 2001, the third in franchise history. And Cale Makar won the Conn Smythe Trophy. He is the young defenseman. He's the youngest defenseman to win the award for the playoff MVP in hockey, the Conn Smythe, since Bobby Orr did it in 1970.
I loved it. You were all in on hockey.
Getting pucked last night,
I got pucked the entire Stanley Cup final. It took me a while to get back into it, but it was the most, my wife was like, oh, there's another game on, because I was exhausted and I wanted to watch it upstairs, which means then, like, the Bravos
You
got
wanted
away.
To get pucked upstairs in the bedroom.
Yes, right. It's a good place to get
especially
pucked.
Especially if your wife's there with you.
But she wanted to get Bravoed, and, getting pucked actually ruled the Sunday, so we watched, but it gave me something to look forward to. Like every few nights.
Sure.
And the hockey was so good.
Yes.
It was both those teams. And yeah,
They're like the fastest two teams in the league. So when you're watching them play, it does stand out.
Kale McCarr is incredible.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yes.
And again, like what Tampa's able to do, get off the mat multiple times throughout games, throughout series this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I was here for it.
I thought he had a cup fumble, too.
Yes, when he was going in for the team picture.
Yes, yes. Did you see, too, he was in the... I think it was him, right? He was in the midst of an interview, and he's like, wait, I got to go. They're taking a picture.
They're taking the picture.
With Emily Kaplan on the sidelines.
And you got to do it with a cup, and you got to do it with one of your best players. And I heard Big Cat's on tomorrow. Big Cat's going to be on at 5 tomorrow, so a little time change. I hope he doesn't blame us for that.
I'm sure he will.
Well, no, he was the one who arranged it, so actually you guys should turn it on him. And any gambling losses you have this week, he now owes you.
I should bet big now this week, so I could blame it on him. But Big Cat was talking about the keepers of the cup. It's still that same guy. I was listening to PMT today. I want to hear some of Big Cat's had some good flirtations with the cup back when he was hanging out with the Hawks back here in Chicago.
There's no doubt about it.
Do you remember that when you were the Where's the Cup
of course.
Twitter handle? And we were always like, are you old enough to participate in that, Tyler? Were you running around trying to find the cup?
I wasn't, no, because my senior year of high school was the last cup for the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
so you're too young. There was, like, I came down for the parade my senior year, but I wasn't cup chasing, no.
It was quite fun. Cup chasing was fun. It's how Carmen's stomach was never the same. I always blame at the wit. We got word.
Yeah, this is right.
Carmen texted Danny Zetterman and me, 2010, the first one of the new era. And he said, hey, I hear the cup's going to be at the wit. We had friends who worked at the cup, who worked at the wit. Todd Stein let us know. And I was too tired. It was a long week. And I'm like, you know what? I'm out. I know it was amateur move. Carmen took his wife and they were dancing with the cup, and Carmen drank out of the cup, which I think is a no-no.
Yeah, if you haven't won it, right?
And then his stomach has never been the same since then.
Little cup karma.
Possibly, yeah.
Speaking of the Blackhawks, they hired a head coach over the weekend. Richardson. Yes.
Rocket Richardson.
No.
No?
No, different
Come
one.
Come on now.
Different, although he played a long time in the league, almost 20 years in the league as a defenseman.
One of the, I want to say he's top 20 in minutes played, perhaps, for a defenseman in NHL history.
I'm buying what you're selling there because, like I said, he played a long time in the league, was Montreal's top assistant coach. So,
what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Until you've done it, I don't know.
I read he was the head coach last year when Montreal's head coach in the Eastern Conference final got sick, right?
Yes, but the truth is, like, you know, I think more than anything, you're going to need some help with talent on the ice before he makes any tangible difference.
Right, like Luke Walton also did that, another Luke.
Yes, exactly.
And he isn't really a good head coach.
Well, that's a perfect segue to the Lakers, Sylvie, because it seems, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, that only the Lakers are seeking Nets, Kyrie Irving, in a sign-and-trade. They're the only suitor, apparently.
Waddle wants this. Is everyone on board with Waddle's thought that he wants the drama of Kyrie and LeBron being together again and them being good again?
And especially if it means Russ Westbrook goes back to the Nets, right? And now, I don't think that's actually going to happen, because I don't... But, come on. Russ and KD back with Brooklyn and LeBron and Kyrie in L.A.? Let's do it. Run it back.
But does anyone want Russell Westbrook?
No.
No.
Oh, literally nobody.
Would you even trust Russell Westbrook on the Bulls to do the Kobe White role?
No, because then he has to shoot.
But and I mean, even worse, though, is the problem is, like, Russ still thinks he's, the way he plays is an asset, and he thinks he's still, like, amongst the 20 best players in the league.
He was getting chippy with Skip Bayless.
I was
going to
bring
weekend.
That up, yeah. So Skip Bayless, again, he called him LeBrick. And then he said, would you say that to my face? Westbrook said.
Mm-hmm. No, call him Westbrook.
Westbrook to my face. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. What did I say?
You said LeBrick. LeBrick.
Oh, LeBrick. Now, that's LeBron. Westbrook. Yeah, you're right. And he said, would you say that to my face? And then Skip invited him on TV and said, yeah, I'd say it to your face. This nickname's been out there since 2012 or something like that.
Every once in a while, Skip still ropes someone in. Still knows how to do it. With the best of them. All right, so a new lawsuit against the Texans alleges that the team enabled Deshaun Watson. So this case continues to strew about and is not going away anytime soon, no. It looks like.
Is the hearing tomorrow? There's a new way they're doing it, too, with this penalties.
Correct. So the league is having a hearing for just Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, this is the Texans piece of news that I mentioned, but Deshaun Watson will have a hearing with Roger Goodell involved. And who is the, is it Sue Robinson?
Yes, I believe you're right.
She is the, she's going to be the advisor. She's going to hear the case and then advise the league on what to do. But then I guess ultimately, Roger Goodell still makes the decision.
This is so NFL, is it not?
Of course.
It's like, okay, here's how we're going to do it now. We're going to hire this this sort of second party who's not with the league to hear this and recommend what the penalty should be. But ultimately, we don't have to listen to this person, and we can do whatever we want.
I mean, is it silly to think that they would actually not listen to whatever she advises them to do? Like, they can't go that route, right? That's just a PR disaster.
Well, if she says 3 games, I would think. Because wasn't Shefty reporting that the league wants him out for the year?
Yeah, they're going to, at tomorrow's hearing, apparently position to try and at least have a year. And I think open-ended, too, so that it could go even further.
Definitely.
Yes. So, interesting stuff. We'll have plenty of news about that tomorrow. Plenty of other nefarious and debaucherous stuff that we haven't got to yet, Sylvie, that we still need to. And, of course, it's Monday, which means Florida or Ohio.
We'll do it next.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Stephen Marte, attorney at law. Attorney indefinitely suspended from Supreme Court for repeatedly driving naked. The Supreme Court of Redacted State indefinitely suspended an attorney for repeatedly driving naked and exposing himself to other motorists. This includes a 2018 traffic stop, a 2020 traffic stop, and one in 2021 as well. Scott Blauvelt was charged with public indecency and reckless operation
Scott
of a vehicle.
No belt. No pants.
And was no discovered belt, no that pants. He was driving nude.
So no wait, attorney. This guy, he's not, these aren't DUIs?
These aren't DUIs.
He gets DUNs. In his car naked.
Yes.
Driving under naked?
I'm trying to think of what would be the middle.
Driving while naked?
DWNs, yes.
DWN. There you go. Driving while naked. Mm-hmm. And then not only is he driving while naked, but then he's exposing himself.
Yep.
He's raising his antenna in the middle of the street.
He has pleaded guilty to all charges. His sentence includes fines and a total of 14 days in jail. Only 14 days for a three-time offender.
Okay, but you know how I feel about, I don't know. I'm not going to say is he really hurt.
Yeah, what do you want? What are you looking for, Tyler? Well, you want a year?
I mean, yeah. He's otherwise, 14 days, okay, I'll go do it again.
Is he doing, is he putting up, is he mooning people? What's he doing
here? It does
here?
Not say
does it
in here.
Does it say
just
what his move is? What kind of naked move?
He's just naked.
He's driving.
He's driving while naked. DWNs.
Has he got the window down and one of his legs out the window?
Let's see.
Maybe he's playing a little stickball.
He has been convicted of 3 additional counts of public indecency since he was first suspended and has also admitted that he had engaged in other similar acts of public indecency for which he was not arrested.
Okay. He's got a long track record of this. This is definitely Florida, I think. I think, it's 4 seasons of driving while naked. So I think it's more likely than Ohio.
I don't know if weather really plays a role in this. I think Ohio is naked? Just a game.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and play with the Buckeye State here.
It took place in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Right there in the university. Hey, ladies, I'm in sorority roll. Anyone want to go for a ride? Baby, you can drive my car.
Completely unrelated, back to the debaucherous stories, a man contracted a new antibiotic-resistant super gonorrhea strain after having sex on an international trip, Sylvie.
So he's got gonorrhea now that cannot be taken care of?
A super gonorrhea, correct.
Super gonorrhea.
An Austrian man.
There's nothing super about that, though.
Head, no.
They need a better name for that than saying super gonorrhea.
There's nothing that makes the antenna go up to any sort of medical thing than add a super in front. Super gonorrhea now?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yikes.
Yeah. Super gonorrhea.
Like all of a sudden there was super COVID.
Much worse than super monkeypox.
I think they need to reserve super for like good things. Like the super big gulp. Like they had the big gulp and then they added the super big gulp. You can't do that with gonorrhea. You can't supersize gonorrhea, or you should call it something else.
Well, apparently they have done it. This is the second time a super gonorrhea strain has been detected. Another was found in 2018 in multiple countries. The term super gonorrhea refers to a bug that has a high level of resistance to recommended treatments, according to the World Health Organization. So there you go. Be on the lookout.
Wow.
Safe sex.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, there's monkeypox, there's super gonorrhea now.
Finding polio in London.
The good news is that murder hornet thing never really
materialized. You're right.
I mean, do you hear anything about the murder hornet now?
No, I think the winter probably killed them off, I'm hoping. All right, topless sunbathing at Evanston beaches, Sylvie? Prohibition of public nudity ordinance in city could be changing. How about that? A prohibition in the city of Evanston's public nudity ordinance that disallows the exposure of female breasts may be dropped after discussions had during a recent meeting of the city's Human Services Committee.
So you could go sit at the lake on the rocks there in Evanston. Doesn't Evanston Beaches have all the rocks there?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And you can lay out and possibly lay free. At least topless.
That is going to be a possible change coming your way.
Big news for Northwestern students.
Upon studying the amendments, the 8th Ward Council member Devon Reed cited that it bars discrimination on the basis of gender and that this could apply to women being topless in the same way that men can be in public.
That's so, right. If we can, exactly. Right. Why can't anybody?
Do we think this could be the start of a Go Topless Jeep weekend in Evanston?
You don't even need the Jeeps. Just the Go Topless weekend in Evanston.
Well, the Jeep is like the official car of the North Shore, too.
There
will be Jeeps. Oh, yeah, there will be Jeeps.
Anecdotally from Tyler, it's the official.
Okay.
How about this? Amazon's Alexa could soon mimic voice of dead relatives.
I saw this.
Any interest in that?
Do they need to hear the dead person's voice? How are they?
That's what I was wondering with it too.
How are they getting it?
I'm perusing the story. If you guys speak amongst yourselves,
and then if they can do this with dead people, they can make it in anyone's voice.
So
then.
Apparently, to create the feature, Amazon officials are saying that a high quality voice with a shorter recording would be needed, and Amazon is working on this technology so that they can mimic the voice.
That way the answers can always be a familiar voice.
I guess.
Isn't that creepy, though?
Yeah, it is.
Creepy, start to think there's ghosts. Then there's ghosts.
I know, but would that make it soothing and keep the memories alive, watching old videos?
I'm trying to think, if you lost your spouse, I'm trying to think, like what person would you want?
How about your 90-year-old grandma?
Yes.
How about that?
I'm saying Sylvie, I was thinking if I'm 90 and I've lost my spouse at that point in life.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you want, you have that familiar voice in your life and it's gone now. So would you want an Alexa talking to you that way?
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I'm out. I'm out.
You're out? Okay.
Creepy.
All right, anything else, guys, or should we wrap it up there?
We can wrap it up there.
All right. If you want to weigh in, anything you heard, 312-332-3776. I got a good tease for something, but I'm not sure if I should use it. AK did speak, though, today. AK and the Bulls introducing their new first-round draft pick. He had an update on Zach LaVine's knee and how it pertains to the offer they're going to give him. You'll hear from AK coming up next.